Thank you, Pastor Tucker. Sometimes we teachers get nervous in front of our students, and especially the articulate ones, the ones that watch all of our colloquialisms. That's very good, Justin. But it is nice to be with you, and nice to have our friend here from India, too. I was glad that Pastor Tucker had all the visitors stand up, because I was going to do that for our friend from India. Well, this evening, I'd like to speak about a highway that needs to be repaired in these last days. And we're talking about the highway of holiness. We're talking about the King's Highway. Talking about the highway to Zion. You know, John the Baptist came to repair this highway. He didn't come with a pick and shovel, but he came to make the way straight, remove the stones, get the rough places out, bring the high places down and get the pits. And so he was dealing with a highway that is in the heart of man. Wish the highway that we're dealing with could be as easy as a physical highway, but he was dealing with the heart of mankind. And, you know, our heart is taking us someplace. We're on a certain road. We're on a highway. In fact, the scripture alludes to the highway that's within the heart. So our heart is taking us in a certain direction. I mean, some people are taking the path of least resistance. They want to get to heaven. I've had people tell me that. I mean, I want to get to heaven too, but that's their goal, that's their quest. They just want to get to heaven. A fellow was telling me, I'll be happy if I can just get to heaven. Yeah, that's nice. Not much of a vision, is it? But we as ministers are looking at a highway that needs to be repaired in these last days, a highway that needs to be lifted up. We need to give God's people a vision of where they're going to and how to get there. Amen? So this is the highway that the king travels on, and the true pilgrim. I've always been impressed with Pilgrim's Progress. He was on that highway, the highway going to Zion. So for our opening text, if we could look at Judges chapter 5, verse 6. And by the way, I did appreciate all of the messages this morning and this evening as well. Judges chapter 5 and verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. So going back to the day of the judges, the enemy had somehow taken control of the main arteries, and all of God's people were on byways. They were on side streets. Paths that were not leading to any ultimate goal. In fact, if you look at the original language here, this word byway means crooked ways. All of God's people had been diverted from the main arteries and they were on crooked ways, byways. But I want us to get a little picture of where we're going. Of course, we're talking about a spiritual highway here. And the Lord's highway was unoccupied. So here was God's people. They were being diverted onto crooked ways, crooked paths, and definitely not the path of righteousness, definitely not the highway to Zion. I preached this message actually in India. I just looked at this. I tried to freshen it up today, but I preached this message in India a couple months ago. And as we were coming to this church where I was going to preach this message, I happened to notice the street that we're on. It was Bypass Road. Well, I've never seen a road that was called Bypass Road. I think maybe the church was on a bypass. Definitely not on the path of righteousness, but the Lord's highway is a highway of holiness. Amen? It's a highway that requires a little bit more effort, a little bit more diligence. It's a highway that's going up, but it's a highway that grows brighter and brighter as we continue on that highway. It's a little bit more confining, but it's a highway that grows brighter and brighter. I remember a vision that was shared some years back of a man who is climbing this mountain. And there were certain plateaus on this mountain, and groups had plateaued, and you know, they had met God on that sphere, on that plateau, and they were saying, come and join us here and see what we have. But he felt he kept climbing, and he went higher, and there's other groups along the road and along this path, and they had plateaued off. And, you know, they were saying, come and join us here. And he continued on. And finally, the path is getting very steep. I mean, he's like on his hands and knees coming up to the top of this hill. But there at the top of the hill was Christ with his arms open. And, you know, we don't want to plateau off somewhere. We want to really meet the King. But the scripture talks quite a bit about highways. Many alternative routes, but they do not all end up where we want to go. The King's Highway, that's a scriptural term. And as we mentioned in the Pilgrim's Progress, he was on the King's Highway, the pilgrim here. But sometimes this highway goes through enemy territory. And when we're going through enemy territory, that's when we want to stick to the road. We don't want to get off this highway. Many temptations when we're going through enemy territory. But let's look at a verse here in the book of Numbers. I mean, we want to walk circumspectly when we're going through enemy territory. I've walked through a little enemy territory before. But here Israel is requesting passage through enemy land. And in Numbers 21, 22, they were saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. Of course, the enemy, you know, wasn't going to have that. They didn't want them to come through their land. But when we consider the many times that Israel got off this highway, off this path, you know, it causes us to fear a little bit. And as we said, this is not a physical highway. This is a spiritual highway. But here we see Israel time and time again on a highway that was leading to self-destruction. And the prophets, many of them, tried to get God's people back on this path. For example, in Jeremiah 6, 16, the prophet is saying, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to walk this way. I mean, here they are in a path of self-destruct, not interested in this path that's leading upward to life. But the faithful watchman always tried to get God's people back on this path. Of course, the other ones, the blind guides, were always showing them shortcuts and showing them how to get to Bypass Meadow, you know. Jeremiah 31, another verse. Jeremiah 31 and verse 21. And again, is Jeremiah trying to get them back from the road they'd left? It says, set thee up waymarks, signposts, 31:21. Make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel. Turn back to the highway that you left. So Israel was deluded time and time again from the good path. And often the ministers were responsible for getting them off this path, pointing to an easier road, trying to get them to go over and to bypass meadow. Is that a colloquialism there? I think we all understand that, looking for greener pastures. If you don't understand that, Justin will explain it to you afterwards here. But, you know, here's the religious leaders of the day. You know, they're blind guides. And true today, isn't it? That you have ministers standing there at the stile and trying to get God's people over into another path. Here's an easier way to go. And, you know, it's not a path that leads to life. It might be attractive at the first, but eventually it leads down into a swamp, and things become dark and dismal, and the people who take this path end up in the Doubting Castle. But the highway we want to stay on, of course, is the King's Highway. Amen? Way of holiness. Let's take a look at this highway in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. King's Highway. And in verse 8 it says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." And actually, these verses relate to the redemption of Israel. In the end, they're going to find themselves on this path. But the church has to preempt these promises. And as I said, it's the call of the ministers of our day to build this highway, to get God's people on the path that's going in the right direction here, to build up this highway. We want to restore God's people onto the good path. Amen? Let's continue to look at this, the restoration of this highway, because that's what we're called to do. Amen? This is a minister's convention. That's what we do. Brother Justin said he likes steak. Well, that's why I became a butcher, because I like steak too. That was my profession. Well, in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10, we're looking at the restoration of the highway that God wants us to be on, because it's His highway. And if we want to meet the King, then we've got to be on this highway. This is the King's highway. This is the highway that He walks on. Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Here's the last day message, to prepare the way for God's people to build up this highway, to gather out the stones, to lift up a standard that will keep them on track. And we'll elaborate a little bit on that before we close up here. But let's look at another verse here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And this, of course, is John the Baptist. He was preparing a highway in his day for the coming king. And this is a last day message, too. We have to prepare the highway for our coming king. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." And so we, as ministers, have to get the crooked places straightened out, and the rough places, the stony places, smoothed out and the high places brought low. But any way that you look at these verses, you have to see the spiritual implications, amen? There's no physical way that we could repair this highway. We're talking about the highway of the heart. So John is dealing with hearts that were crooked and stony and hard and filled with idols and all kinds of pits. If we want to prepare a bride, if we want to prepare people to meet the king, then we have to deal with these things in the church, amen? We have to get the crooked places out and the stony hearts dealt with, and God has a way of doing that too. But we want to get the besetting sins out of our heart, out of our life. The road that's leading to Zion, the King's Highway, is a highway within our heart. And I want to look at a verse in Psalm 84 now. I usually stick to the King James, but English Standard will work, or American Standard will work. Actually, there's about four versions that say this in a more correct way. Looking at Psalm 84, verse 5. Oh, you got the King James, no? Anyway, it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Or the Bible in basic English, "Happy is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion." Our heart is taking us someplace. There's a highway within our heart. Do we have a vision for Zion within our heart? In whose heart are the highways to Zion? And these verses are kind of bringing us to the crux of the message, because as we begin to take careful introspection and examining the highway that we're on, are we on this highway that's going up? Is this the King's Highway? Where's our vision at? We don't want to settle on some plateau, but we want to meet the King on this highway. Amen? We don't want to be on some byway, some purposeless, meaningless road that takes you nowhere. And that will be our final question here when we end here. But, you know, God gives people the desire of their heart, even if it's wrong sometimes. That's why we want to have the right desire and we want to be on the right road, because God, after a time, if we're seeking after something, maybe it's not right, but God will let you have that desire, and then it might not be to your benefit at all. I usually don't quote worldly music, but I want to quote a few lines from a song from a worldly group back in the 60s. This song kind of depicts the empty soul of this group and all the people that followed them. And it's called Nowhere Man. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. He doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Of course, this group thought that the world is like them, but not everybody was like them. But it certainly describes the spiritual condition of the people who sang the song. He's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody. You know, the funny thing is, I had this song written down. I mean, I usually don't do this, but I had this song written down because I wanted to incorporate it into the message. And I was going through the airport, one of the airports, and going by the Hudson News. Those of you who fly always go by the Hudson News. And there's a book there, and it's called The Nowhere Man. So I thought, wow, The Nowhere Man. Sounds like a very interesting book. I'm sure that everybody would like to read that, The Nowhere Man. But, you know, the ministry of the Church of the Last Days is to restore the paths for God's people to dwell in. So got a few more verses in Isaiah. Isaiah 58 and verse 12. And they shall be of thee, they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. In these last days, God is going to bring his teachers out of the corner. You know, it says that in Isaiah chapter 30, that thy teacher shall no longer be in the corner, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher, and thou shalt hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. And this is what we're called to do, to point the right direction. Amen? Not take people over bypass meadow, but to point the right direction and say, this is the way, walk in it. So the stones have to be gathered out of this highway. I'm talking about stony hearts. God's law can never be written on a stony heart. And God has a unique way of breaking up the stony grounds. I've had a few experiences in my life that have broken me up a little bit because God wanted to implant some of his law upon my heart. God has a wonderful way of doing that. But we want to invite God to take away the stony places in our heart. That is, if we want to go to Zion, the crooked places have to be straightened out if we're going to continue on the King's Highway. Amen? The crooked places have to go. No guile, no deceit in our mouth. You know, probably some of you have shared this wonderful experience, being in a church where the pastor says, now, let's take up a nice offering for the man of God. Well, he must have been referring to himself because I never saw the offering. I'll tell you what, I would rather all the offerings in the world couldn't cause me to trade places with this fellow. I mean, I don't know how people dare to do something like that, but I mean, I've seen it happen. And I've been the victim a few times, but I never said anything. But God has a way of getting rid of the deceit, too. That's right. Right? He sends us to Uncle Laban's farm, and you get the message after a while. So the high places have to be made low. The idolatrous places, the places that resist God. Everything in our life that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. God wants us to come to grips with those things and see them come down. Anything that exalts itself, you know, above the knowledge of God. Ambitions, plans. I mean, many times those things are disrupted because they're something that's not in the mind of God. And everything has to come into its place. Amen? So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, pulling down strongholds, imaginations, every high thing. The worldly mind vaunts itself against things of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, idols in the heart. Ezekiel was dealing with the idolatries that were in the people's heart. You know, all of these things have to be dealt with if we want that highway within our heart to go to Zion, upward. Amen? And then, of course, the valleys. We could summon up a number of things here. There could be besetting sins, pits that people continually fall into. Unbelief, discouragement, as Pastor Wallace was mentioning this morning. And a lot of these things cause God's people to to take a detour and to look for an easier way. And there's a lot of churches that have open doors for people that are offended like this and looking for an easier way. And they can go to these places and feel no condemnation and everything's accepted. And they might find a temporary relief there because, church doesn't preach against sin or some illicit lifestyle, and so they can find a temporary relief in these places, but it's not the highway of the upright, because the highway of the upright departs from evil. Amen? So, I think you know all of these things, but this is the ministry of the last days, to build up this highway, to give people a vision, to exalt the highway of holiness, to deliver God's people from the crooked paths and put them on the King's highway. As we have said, this highway might be a little bit more difficult, a little bit more arduous. It's a little bit steeper, might be more confining, but it's a highway that's going up. It's a highway that's becoming brighter, and it's a highway that the King walks on. And that's the highway we want to be on, because we want to meet the King. Amen? Amen? That's what John's ministry was, to prepare a highway for the King to come on. The world is off course today, but the problem is that much of the church is off course with the world. I'm basically through here, but, I was listening to a respectable minister. I think he's a respectable man, quite popular. He was preaching to a large audience of people. They're glued to their seat. Is that right, Justin? We're not supposed to use that phrase. Right? Listening to this man, and everything that he was saying was, wrong. The Lord could come tonight. The Lord is coming 7 years before the tribulation. All you have to do is sign your name in a book and basically you're going up. But he was going on and on. He was preaching soul sleep. And, he's saying the 144,000 are Jewish evangelists that are going to be preaching during the tribulation. All kinds of things. But, he's taking people onto another path. And the big problem is that this path looks like the easy way is much brighter. People can clap at those kind of messages, and they usually don't clap at my kind of messages, but they do it. These people seem to get all the applause. But eventually, this easy way becomes darker and darker and murkier and murkier, and these are the people that throw up their hands in the end and give up the faith. They've been taught something that's wrong, and when that doesn't come to pass, many of them are offended. One thing I appreciate about the Thessalonian church, Paul taught these people that the way into the kingdom was not going to be easy. And they accepted that, and tribulation came, and they had no problem with it. But, churches that are taught that you're not going to have to go through these things, when it does happen, then they're offended. And I think even in China, that was a story back before the communists took over. There were two streams there. Some of the pastors were telling them that persecution was coming and so on. Other pastors were saying that God was going to protect his people and it wasn't going to come and this and that. Well, it did come. The persecution did come. And the ones that were taught that you're going to go, this is the way it's going to be, are the ones who stood during the persecution. The other ones just collapsed. Well, somehow may God give us a vision for the highway of holiness. We want to meet God on this highway. We want to meet the King. And as ministers, we want to prepare the way in our church for the coming of the King. We want to be a part of this rapture. It's not just anybody that's going up. It's those who have been called and chosen and faithful. They're overcomers. It's the overcomers that are going to be sitting at this wonderful table in heaven, and we want to be a part of it. And I can just imagine this table in heaven. I mean, probably be seated in proximity to our spiritual position to the Lord, but I think it's going to be kind of an orientation, this supper as well, because the Lord is going to give his plans for the next move when we come back down. I hope we're all there. Amen? I remember another little vision through here. Another little vision of somebody that was the head of the marriage supper. And they were sitting at the marriage supper and looking across a table at a friend of theirs. And they were saying, "I can't believe we're here." And I think that would kind of be my expression too. I can't believe I'm here. But it's going to happen. But we want to be prepared. And we want to be walking on the road that's leading up. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you all.